to God for his many blessings. But as we're going to go in our Bibles in just a few moments, today I intend to close our series on a biblical perspective on prayer. After tonight's message, I intend to be done with this, but I've been thankful. I feel like the Lord's helped me in this, and I trust that he's helped you as well, as we've just gone to the pages of Scripture and looked at what the Bible has to say about prayer and tried to interpret it rightly. Last Sunday night, we looked at how we are to pray in spite of the delay, and we examined the parable that Jesus told about the widow woman and the unjust judge in Luke chapter 18. And we noticed that Jesus was contrasting the character of this judge with the character of our Heavenly Father. Unlike this judge, God cares for us. And unlike this judge, when God delays to answer our prayer, it is never due to reluctance or lack of ability on his part. And then finally, unlike that judge, God's delays are always for our good and his glory. If he chooses to delay an answer or to fulfill a promise or whatever the case may be, it is always for our ultimate good and his ultimate glory. And from this perspective contrast, I left you with two simple reminders. First of all, persistent prayer can change us. And finally, a delay does not mean a denial. That's what we talked about finally. That's where we closed off last Sunday night. But this morning, like I said, we're going to the Gospel of Matthew, and we're going to discuss a topic. I would just like to title it this: Praying Full Prayers. Praying Full Prayers. So far in this series, we've spent most of our time reviewing what Scripture tells us about prayer rather than discussing what it says about how we should pray. Although last Sunday night, we kind of started bridging that gap a little bit. It was still instructionary on how prayer is and what it does, more or less than how we should pray. This morning, we focus in on more of the how-to and how not to pray, even instructions that are given within the Word of God. And as we turn here to the Gospel of Matthew chapter 6, and we're going to use some of Jesus' instruction concerning prayer as our main text this morning. It's not going to be the only place we go, as have been our custom. In this series, we've kind of gone through the pages of Scripture, turned different places, and we're going to do that this morning as well. But I want to start right here in Matthew 6. And as you're turning there, some may still be turning if you're there, allow me to just make a few more comments about this. A message like this does not imply that I believe you're incapable of praying on your own. I don't believe, like the Catholic Church, that we have to have recited prayers that everyone has to pray, and if you don't pray these prayers, you're not really praying, or that your prayers are insufficient. Nor do I want anyone to simply take this as my personal guide on how to pray, but this is instruction from the Word of God. I, too, am increasing in my prayer life, and I'm admonishing you to do so as well. My goal, as I've said multiple times when I'm preaching this, in these messages, has been to challenge and strengthen our prayer lives so as to be more effective and to enjoy the blessing of prayer more greatly in our lives. So, with that out of the way, Matthew chapter 6, verse number 5, if you're there, say amen this morning. All right, let's read. Jesus says, "And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray, standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the street, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions, as the heathens do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them. For your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him. Oh, praise God. What a wonderful promise there at the end of verse number 8. Our Father knows what we have need of before we ever ask. As I said this morning, I just want to talk to us on this thought, praying full prayers, praying full prayers. Let's pray. Father, thank you this morning for your word. We ask today that you would take your word and you would bring it to life in our hearts. Help us to hear with all the ears of our hearts, Lord, that we may not only hear but do your word, putting into practice that which would be beneficial for our lives and for the betterment of our existence as believers, as those who have put all of our trust in Jesus. And Lord, I do believe our lives should be characterized by prayer. Lord, I know that we may not be as on the same level as some in our prayer lives. Everyone may be at a different maturity level. Some may be approaching more maturity than others. But I ask today, Lord, help us to pray full prayers. And help me today as I deliver your word for this to not only make sense, but Lord, for it to be compelling to our hearts that we would follow through. And we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. There's two things, primarily two headings I would give you this morning. And under each one, I want to talk about several points. But first of all, we are to avoid void praying. What does this mean? What does this term void mean? The term void describes something that is not valid, that is empty or lacking. As a noun, it refers to a space that is empty of anything. Praying is an activity that can easily become lacking in some of its most key elements. So first, I would like to present some things that we should avoid if we do not want our prayers to be empty. And the first thing I'll present to you is from the text that we read from this morning, and simply I would title it this, something that we should avoid. We should avoid empty words and senseless repetitions. Oh, in the text that we read a few moments ago, Jesus told his disciples and instructed them in this way. He said, "But when ye pray," verse 7, "use not vain repetition, as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking." Now, I know today we are not influenced. Many of us are probably not influenced by hearing pagans pray to false gods. But I will tell you, this issue of vain repetitions and empty words can creep in to the prayer lives of even devout believers. Oh, while we have established the fact that God doesn't require eloquence of speech in order for our prayers to be heard, we should pray in an intelligent manner that clearly communicates what we are asking God for or what we are desiring to make known before His presence. God has given us the intelligence to be able to do that in most cases. If repeated phrases were removed from some prayers, they would be almost altogether fading into oblivion. Have you ever heard a prayer like that? I ever heard somebody pray like this, you know, "Father God, we thank you today that you are the Father God, and Father God, we love you, and we ask that you would continue to work, Father God." And if you took Father God out of that prayer, it wouldn't be much of a prayer. And I'm not being ugly, I'm just simply saying, you know, this is not to throw off on people who are nervous about praying out loud, but to make sure that such repetition that consumes time and accomplishes little in way of communication doesn't creep into our personal prayer times. Oh, the time we spend in prayer is precious time. Don't fill it with senseless repetition that you wouldn't use in a normal conversation. Remember something about prayer. This is a normal conversation. I am not going here and having to impress God by how many times I call Him Father. I'm not going to Him having to impress Him by how many times I say thank you, Jesus, when I pray. I am going there to have a conversation with the God of heaven. Oh, I've heard preachers preach sermons like that. If you took amen and hallelujah to God out of the message, it would take about the entire content of the message away. Oh, it should be the same in our praying. We should remove as much of the fat as we can so that when we are communicating with God, we are communicating as much clearly as we possibly can. Oh, the clarity that we have, giving all that we have before God in prayer. I would dare say that 10 minutes of clear praying is better than 2 hours of endless repetitions and filled up words that have very little meaning. As I said, the time we spend in prayer is precious time. Don't waste it. Here are a couple of things to remember when you're praying. First of all, you are having a conversation with your Heavenly Father. I've mentioned this before, but I just say it once again. I know that prayer is more than a conversation, but it is that at its very core. Therefore, we should treat it like such. Don't consume much of your precious conversation time with God with empty addresses unto Him, but have a normal conversation. It would not be normal, I said, Brother Matthew, this morning. I don't go to him when I talk to him, and every time I begin a sentence, I don't say, Brother Matthew, Brother Matthew, Brother Matthew. I don't repeat his name throughout the sentence because that's not normal conversation. Now, I understand some people are more shy and timid, and when they pray out loud, they pray differently than when they pray in quiet. I understand that. But I have seen it creep into the prayer lives of devout people that much of their prayer time is filled with repetitions that really don't communicate their need. It don't communicate the desires. And I say we can elevate our prayer life to where when we are praying, we are doing just that. We are communicating our heart unto God. We are making known to Him the desires that we have from Him and to Him, and that His name would be glorified. Oh, we can fill our prayers with useful praying. Our time, oh, being used wisely. This is not a condemnation, but a commendation to evaluate our prayers beyond empty addresses and calling of names. As I said, we would not address the person who we're conversing with in a normal conversation by their name and their title at the beginning and the ending of every sentence. So we should avoid doing that in prayer, if at all possible. At least work toward that end. I know we're addressing a holy God. I understand the fact we're coming before the throne of grace, and there should be reverence in that. Oh, but let us make the most of the time that we have before His throne, communicating clearly what our heart's petitions are. Oh, the second thing to remember is we're talking about avoiding vain words or empty words and senseless repetition, is remember you're talking to one who knows what we have need of before we ever even ask. Since He knows what you have need of before you ever ask, we aren't praying to inform Him of something that He isn't aware of. So thus, we don't have to repeat something as if God didn't hear it the first time. I understand perseverance in prayer. I understand there's times we ask God for something on multiple occasions, but we're not asking because He does not know. Oh, we're not telling and informing Him of the circumstance, but rather we are asking Him to do what we believe only He can do about the situations. Oh, there have been times I've had conversations with people who don't think they were aware of certain realities. You know, I remember talking with people when I worked at the shipyard, and call them slow of hearing, as the scriptures would say. I would tell them, this needs to be done like this. No other way. We're working on nuclear submarines, okay? You know, it's very important we do it like this. And you know what? Several times during the conversation, I would say, make sure it gets done like this. And then when I close the conversation, how are we going to do it? We're going to do it like this. I'm not trying to be ugly to them. I'm just trying to make sure it gets done a certain way because I want to make sure they understand what I am saying. Can I tell you? We don't have to do that with God. He's not slow of understanding. He's not slow of hearing. He hears us the first time that we pray. Present the petition before Him. Fill your heart with faith and lift it up toward the heavens and trust that He will do His part. Oh, God help us. So avoid empty repetition and words that really don't move our hearts. So that's the first thing to avoid. Second thing, avoid prayer that is overly concerned with secondary matters. What do you mean by secondary matters, Brother Shane? Well, let me just go here. Let's stay right here in Matthew chapter 6 and turn toward the end of this chapter to Matthew 6 and 25. Listen to the words of Jesus here as he's given instruction. He said, "Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life." Now that doesn't mean that your life is worthless. He's just simply saying, don't be anxious about life. What you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat and the body than raiment? In other words, Jesus says, oh, we should not be constantly concerning ourselves with all of the issues of life. Oh, these things like food and raiment and what we're going to do. Oh, he said, but rather there are other matters that are of primary emphasis. Oh, Jesus here highlights the fact that some of these basic necessities of life are not all that life consists of. He will then go on to give the memorable illustration of using the birds in the sky and the lilies of the field as examples of God's loving care. It's very likely Jesus is here talking to these people and he says, you know, don't sit here and fret yourself over the matters of life. Oh, because they're going to take care of themselves. He said, look up to the birds in the heavens and see how God takes care of them. They don't plant any seeds in the spring. They don't harvest in the fall, but yet they have plenty to eat. He said, look at those little lilies over there. Oh, they don't know how to toil and spin, or they don't know how to work a seamstress press. They don't know how to work a thread and needle. Oh, but yet they are clothed in more glory than Solomon when he reigned upon his throne. So if God can clothe lilies and God can feed sparrows, don't we believe that he can take care of life's issues? And I thought about this. I said, Lord, how much of our praying, my own life included, I examine my own life first, okay? How much of our praying is consumed with the matters of life that Christ calls secondary right here? How much of it is? I'm not saying it's unimportant altogether. I'm not saying it's not dear to our heart. Because when Jesus is talking here, there's people in that crowd didn't know where their next meal was coming from. There was people who didn't know where their next change of clothes was going to come from. But yet Jesus is willing and able to look them in the eyes and say, don't concern yourself primarily with those things, because there are matters that are more important than these temporal things. Oh, Jesus' instruction goes on like this in verse 31. Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. While I pray that there is no one here today that has to daily wonder where your next meal is coming from, I do feel that there are other secondary matters that often feel our prayers if we are not careful. I speak of praying repeatedly about things that God has promised to provide. Oh, some cry, the consistent cry, oh, I need peace. Can I tell you, as we mentioned in Philippians chapter number 4, he said, if we continue with all prayer and supplication and let our requests be made known unto God with thanksgiving, he said, the peace of God would rule in our hearts and in our minds. I'm not telling you don't have special circumstances where you need God's peace to move specifically there. Oh, but we don't have to beg God every day to give us peace. All we have to do is pray and trust him. And he said, the peace would flow out of a faithful trust in who he was. Oh, there are many things that God has promised to provide. Oh, that we need not sit here and agonize and prayer about, because God has promised to do it. I know there are times we need special provisions from the Lord, even in things that he has promised to provide. But make sure our prayers consist of more than just what you need, to make sure that it includes praise for what God has done, expectation for what God has promised, and desire for what God desires. Our prayers should be bigger than just, I need this and I need that, and if I don't have that, I will never make it. Our prayer should be expanded beyond that by the power of God to look up to heaven and say, God, you'll take care of my needs. I need you today more than any of these things. Oh, the reason that I refer to many of these matters as secondary matters is because of Jesus' familiar words in verse 33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. So what I mean by avoiding prayer that is overly concerned with secondary matters is simply to keep our prayers in proper perspective to the kingdom. The kingdom comes first, and then what I have need of comes second. Because I believe if I put the kingdom first, God will supply all of my needs in accordance with his riches in glory. Third thing, avoid prayer that is void or empty of faith. Can I say that when we ask God to do something, make sure that we have the faith to believe that he will actually do it? How many prayers get prayed? How many prayer requests get given in? And people want somebody else to have faith for them. And I encourage you, have faith yourself. Have faith in God and trust that he will move. Do not pray prayers that are void altogether of faith. Because you know what? The book of James tells us, that little epistle in the New Testament that has so much instruction. He says this in James 1 and 6, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything from the Lord. That's not just me up here on a hobby horse. That's James, the brother of our Lord, writing to believers. And he said, when you're going to ask something in prayer, he said, ask it in faith. Because if your prayer is not mixed with faith, why do you think God's going to answer it? That's literally how he words it here. That is the wording of James chapter 1. He said, if you don't have the faith to expect that God will do what you're asking, why do you expect that you're ever going to get an answer from him? He said, pray nothing wavering. Have faith, if you would. Do not vacillate in your understanding, but have faith in God. But we know, if we're all honest, there are times we struggle to believe the promises of God and to rest in his power. Anybody ever been there? Have a little struggle believing that big promise that God makes because doubt tries to cloud the brightest of faith. Yet we should be honest. And if we find doubt casting its shadow over our petitions unto the Lord, we should cry out like the disciples did in Luke 17 and 5. And the apostles said unto the Lord, increase our faith. It would do us good before we ask God to do something and we have no faith to see him do it, for us to first, if we know this faith to see him do it is lacking, for him to say, for us to pray, God, increase my faith so that I can pray what I'm about to say in the assurance that faith alone can bring. At times we hear the words of Jesus unto the father of that demon-possessed boy ring in our ears. I've heard it before when I've got down to pray. He said this, oh, if thou canst believe, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. Have you ever got down and bought a petition before the Lord? And you heard that verse ringing in your ears, or am I the only one? I've heard that before. I'm not talking about some audible voice. I'm not talking about hearing voices. I'm just talking about the nudging of the Spirit of God. And I hear Jesus saying those words. If you can believe, all things are possible to him that believes. But I've also, in the sincerity of the moment, looked at Jesus like that father did, with tears running down my eyes, said, Lord, I believe, but help thou my unbelief. Lord, I want to believe that you'll do this. Lord, I know that your power is such, but doubt is casting a shadow across my faith. Oh, will you help my unbelief? Can we be that honest in prayer that say, Lord, there's times I've prayed prayers that I didn't have the faith that you would answer them. Oh, but when I find myself in that place, I pray, first of all, increase my faith. And Lord, I believe, but help thou my unbelief. Oh, we should avoid praying that is not mixed with faith. Fourth thing, we should avoid prayer that is void of fervency. I believe that true faith begets in the prayers of believers a notable fervency, a fire that stands to warm the cold faith of others. Go on a little further in the epistle of James. If you still got your Bibles open there, James chapter 5, verse number 16. He's writing as he's bringing this epistle to a close, and he says, confess your faults one to another and pray for another. He said, that ye may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Oh, we should avoid prayers that not only are void of faith, we should also avoid prayers that are empty of fervency. You say, what is fervency? Well, this word, these two words, effectual fervency, as the King James renders it, is actually one word in the Greek. And it means to function properly or to perform as expected. In other words, there was a certain standard for which a piece of equipment, for which an instrument or whatever it may be, was expected to perform at. And he said, the prayers, when they are performing as expected, will accomplish much. This isn't a shy, timid prayer, but one that familiar confidence. There is no notion of brash demands, but faith that stands upon its own feet and asks with confidence that God would do what He alone can do. The effectual, fervent prayer. Oh, we should avoid prayers that are empty of all fervency. I understand. You say, Brother Shane, does that mean we got to growl all of our prayers? We got to yell like you do when you're preaching? No, I'm not telling you that. But I can tell you, we know a fervent prayer. If you've ever prayed a fervent prayer, you know what it is. It's a prayer that burns like a fire in your heart, and you know beyond any shadow of a doubt that the God of heaven is hearing what you are saying. He may not answer it at that moment, but you know in that moment you are being heard by heaven. Can I admonish you to avoid prayers that do not reach out to heaven with expectation and are not prayed in the fervency that faith alone can bring? Oh, God, help us to avoid this kind of praying. Oh, to avoid this type of praying. But I'm preaching this morning on praying full prayers. So my second point, not only do we avoid certain types of praying, but to strive for full praying. Avoid empty praying and strive for full praying. So we're to avoid empty praying, strive for what I like to call full praying. First of all, what do you mean by full praying? Well, prayer that is full, first of all, of faith. What is faith? Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Oh, our prayers should be prayed in the fullness of faith. Faith is that holy confidence that enables us to lay hands upon God and His promises, although He is invisible and many of His promises have not yet come to pass. But faith lays a hold upon God and His promises with both hands, as one preacher said. I like that. He said true faith, full faith, grabs a hold to God with both hands, one hand upon God and the other one upon His promises, and trusts that although God is invisible, I can see Him in my spirit, and although His words have not come to pass yet, He will make good on that which He has promised. We should pray prayers that are full of faith in a God who does not fail. It was said of Stephen and also of Barnabas in the New Testament that they were men who are full of faith. Let our prayers increase until we pray with hearts that are filled with confidence in a God who will never fail. Avoid prayers that are empty of faith and pray prayers that are full of faith. Second thing, We are to pray prayers that are full of fervency. I mentioned it earlier. As I said before, I believe faith and fervency go hand in hand. James 5 and 16, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Fervency speaks of that which is burning and blazing. Let our prayers burn with holy passion and a fire that is kindled in the heart that trusts God to do what He has promised. Anybody ever build a fire? Those of you, anybody ever watch somebody build a fire? Well, if you go out there and you have nice dry wood, and a good open space to burn, but you have no spark, you have no flame, how good of a fire is that going to be? Not very good. You're not going to get very warm if it's cold outside. If you have no flame, what if you have a nice torch in your hand and you got a beautiful wide open space to burn and plenty of oxygen getting to it, but you have no dry wood? You're not going to have a fire. What if you got the dry wood and the torch, but you don't have any oxygen? It's a rainy day outside. How good of a fire are you going to have? If you're trying to light one outside, you're not going to have one, because there's multiple things required in order for there to be a true fire. Can I tell you, for fervency to be true in prayer, there's some things that are required. Oh, you need that spark, that fervency within the spirit to burn and ignite. Oh, but you also need the right kind of fuel. Our fuel is not dry wood, but it is the Word of God. We need the oxygen to fan the flames, which is the Spirit of God. And we need a willingness to maintain such a fire, because if you burn a fire and you don't maintain it, it will go out. And Paul told Timothy this. He said, stir up the gift of God that is within you. In other words, don't let it go out. Keep it stirred. We should pray prayers that are full of fervency, but also pray prayers that are full of the Word of God. It ties in with what I just said. Pray prayers that are full of the Word of God. The proper fuel for our prayers is the Word of God. If you don't know how to pray about a situation, take this book in hand. Search the Scriptures and see if you find some prayers in this book that are applicable to your situation. And take those words and pray them with all the faith and fervency that you have. Oh, you said, Brother Shane, I don't know what you mean by using Scripture as a pattern for prayer. What did Jesus do when he was tempted in Matthew chapter 4? The devil comes to him and he's facing temptation. What did he use? He used the book of Deuteronomy, because he was full of the Word and the Word flowed out of him. And he looked at that devil three different times. He quoted passages from the book of Deuteronomy, and there he said, it is written. And he was able to take that in spiritual warfare, in prayer. And because of that fullness of the Word, he was able to fight a spiritual warfare in prayer. We should be able to do the same. What about the apostles in Acts chapter 4? They've just been threatened within an inch of their life and told that they should not preach in the name of Jesus anymore. They'd go back to that upper room where the Holy Ghost fell on them not two chapters earlier, and they begin to pray. And the Bible says in Acts chapter 4 and verse 24, and when they heard it, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God which hast made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them. Oh, who by the mouth of thy servant David has said, why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth stood up and the rulers gathered against the Lord and against his Christ. They went back to that upper room. You know what they did? They didn't have the good Bibles that we have. Oh, it was in their memory. But they remembered what the Spirit of God moved on David to write there in Psalm chapter 2. And they said, the heathen are raging and imagining a vain thing, Lord. Like you said, what happened under the inspiration of David. And here we are standing, and we believe that you are going to rise up and conquer our enemies. God, we trust in you. They prayed a prayer that was full of the Word of God. We should do the same thing. Oh, we should do the same thing. Oh, pray prayers that are full of the Word of God. I encourage you, go to the book of Psalms. The book of Psalms itself is a collection of prayers, songs, and many of which are addressed to God. They are prayers of repentance, petitions for help, cries for justice, longings for God's presence, desires for overcoming despondency, prayers of praise unto God, and many more. Go to the book of Psalms, pray some of those words, and ask it to be fuel to the fire of your prayer life, and let it burn for the glory of God. Final thing I'll mention this morning, praying full prayers. Not only pray prayers that are full of the Word, finally pray prayers that are full of the Spirit. Oh, I mentioned it a few weeks ago, the first sermon I preached on this series, Jude, one chapter there, verse number 20, but ye beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. What is the benefit of Spirit-filled praying, you ask? Well, I believe that the Spirit-filled praying is like a steady supply of oxygen to a fire. It's what keeps it alive and active. Oh, praying in the Spirit is multifaceted. I just want to mention this morning. I'm going to say this. Praying in the Spirit involves at times praying in tongues. Consider what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 14 and 14. For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth. Praying in the Spirit involves that at times. I'm not saying that's the entirety of praying in the Spirit either. We'll talk more about that in a moment. Praying in a heavenly language as the Spirit gives utterance is a means of our spirit communicating directly with God. He said, my spirit is edified. My spirit prays, he said. Not only that, but praying in the Spirit involves operating in the gifts of the Spirit. Oh, you know those nine gifts that we so conveniently forget about so often? 1 Corinthians chapter 12, they're still for today. We're not cessationists in this church, okay? We don't believe that died with the apostles. We believe that is still for today. It is part of those gifts that we are to covet earnestly according to what Paul wrote at the end of 1 Corinthians 12. But as I said, praying full of the Spirit sometimes involves praying in tongues, but it also can mean praying in English. And many times it does. This is something I noticed this week afresh. There are nine gifts of the Spirit mentioned in 1 Corinthians 12. And consider some of these gifts in relationship to prayer. Because some of these gifts can be operated and used in times of prayer. Not just a preacher getting up here and speaking a word of prophecy over a congregation. We know there's times that you can operate in the gifts of the Spirit in prayer. I do believe that 100%. Oh, what about words of wisdom and knowledge? Are there times we need the Holy Ghost to give us a word of wisdom to know how to pray about a situation or to know what to say to an individual, and he can do that in a time of prayer? I believe he can. I believe he can. I'm not here telling you the spirit of the prophets is subject unto the prophet. That's what the scripture tells us. We're not over here trying to raise up a bunch of people who are self-proclaimed prophets. But I do believe that it is God's will that his people operate in the gifts of the Spirit and be used regularly. I am nobody. I'm the least of the least. And I say that before all of you. But I know for a fact there's been times I've been praying, sometime for other people, and I have felt God allow me to be used in the gifts of the Spirit as I'm praying for other people. That's not limited to the pastor. That's for the pew. That's for the pew as well. Because there's times you and your human mind ain't going to know how to pray for somebody. But the Spirit of God can come in and give you a word of knowledge to know how to pray. A word of wisdom to know what to say in the situation. However it may be, we can operate in the gifts of the Spirit even in our prayer lives. Oh God, let it be, let it be. What about the discerning of spirits? Do you think that's tied to praying? I'm not saying it's always tied to it. I've heard of preachers being used in different ways, but I'm going to tell you, I believe that part of the way we can be used in that gift of the Spirit of discerning a false spirit is in times of prayer when the Spirit of God moves into our heart and he gives us a revelation that only he can give for that moment that is temporary, that is for that specific time, and it is from God himself. Oh, God help us. I think I'm speaking Chinese to some this morning. Even the working of miracles. The working of miracles. Do we believe that God still works miracles today? I can tell you right now he does. You say, Brother Shane, how do you know that? Because last Sunday morning I walked into this church with a limp. And every day for almost 3 months, I could not make it through an entire day without having pain. I stand before you and 1 week later, I have not had the same pain. God healed and he worked a miracle. You say, Brother Shane, oh, you're a mighty man. No, that ain't nothing to do with me. That's all glory to God. And you know when he did it? He did it when we were praying. When some of you men of this church, and I don't doubt you ladies as well, were praying and asking God. You say, Brother Shane, who was it that touched heaven? I think it was a collective effort. And it doesn't really matter. All I believe is that God heard the prayer. And I can testify today that he did the miracle. And he worked in my life. Oh God, help us to have prayers that are full of enough faith to see God do miracles. We're not just seeking God for his miracles. But you know what he said? These signs shall follow them that believe. We're not seeking the signs. We're seeking the leader. And as we follow his leading, the signs will follow. Oh, God, help us this morning. Oh, God, help us. Each of these giftings that I mentioned here can have a direct connection to prayer. Oh, we need prayers that are full of the Spirit. As we stand all over this building this morning, I don't want to pray empty prayers. Prayer is more than a routine, okay? It's more than something to check off our boxes. Oh, I'll just go about and, you know, we have the mentality of what we've taught our children, you know. Did you say your prayers before you went to bed? Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray, dear Lord, my soul to keep. And if I should die before I wake, I pray, dear Lord, my soul to take. I'm not saying that's a bad prayer. If you mean it, if it's full of faith, if it's been prompted by the Holy Ghost. But God, help our prayer lives to elevate beyond just one place. I feel like we get to a plateau of prayer. And we get so used to praying just certain ways. And we get there and we go back down and we never go beyond it. I have found prayer to be oh so much more rich. Even in this time of study, when I prepared for these messages, I've just found, I said, God, I fear there's been many times I've just missed the entire pinnacle of prayer. And I've just stopped right here and I've failed to realize how much further we can go in our prayer lives. Because there is nothing that shall be impossible to him that believes. And if we really believe it, I believe God will do it. If it's according to his will. Do you believe that this morning? Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word today. Lord, I know that messages like this can seem somewhat strange for Sunday morning. Lord, I felt the leading of the Spirit today to talk with us. To challenge our prayer lives, Lord. Let us leave off all forms of empty praying. Lord, I am not telling you that you despise, or these people that you despise their prayers. Lord, I do know this, that we have more that we can attain to in prayer. Lord, I believe that you will do all that you said you would do. And I pray, let us pray prayers that are full of fervency, full of faith, full of the word of God, and let us be full of the Spirit when we are praying. God, let it be. Lord, we need you to move in a mighty way. Fill our hearts to the full. And out of that fullness, I pray, let us learn to be more effective in our communion time as we speak to you from full hearts, minds that are tended by the word of God, and spirits that are kept by your Spirit. Father, we ask it in the name of Jesus. Help us all. Amen and amen. God bless you. You're dismissed in the fear of the Lord.